Nemoto presents AI, an uncertain future. Opening of the black box. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 12 minutes. The warehouse lights hum. A belt moves like a river. Robot arms sort, lift, seal, and stamp. A single technician watches dashboards. 2 years ago, 100 people stood on this line. Today, 3 supervise the machines. The output is higher. The error rate is lower. The question is simple and brutal. When the machines can make almost everything, who pays humans to buy it? We've told ourselves a comforting story for 2 centuries. Technology destroys some jobs, creates better ones, and the market adjusts. But this time the tool is not just steel or silicon. It's a general-purpose cognition engine that can sit in the office and on the factory floor at the same time. It writes reports, reviews scans, drafts code, fields customer complaints, and steers vehicles. It is the first tool to compete with us across many of the things we do to earn a living. There is a quiet loop beneath capitalism that most of us never name. People are paid wages to produce. Those wages return as demand to buy what's produced. If a system removes people from production, it quietly saws at the branch it sits on. No wages, no demand. No demand, no growth. And yet, here we are, rushing toward a world of work without humans. Imagine a day in a logistics hub. The AI routes trucks. The warehouse uses vision systems to find defects. A large language model answers customer emails. The CFO runs an AI forecast that determines tomorrow's staffing. Fewer people touch the product. Now step into a bank. AI screens loans, flags fraud, drafts compliance memos. A law office. AI reads discovery, suggests clauses. A studio. AI writes a first draft, storyboards shots, generates temp music, voices your rough cut. In each place, productivity rises. And in each place, fewer people are paid. Winners are obvious. Firms that own the models, the data, and the compute. Losers are diffuse. Clerks, assistants, juniors, operators, interns, the latter itself. We're told new jobs will appear. Some will. But they are fewer, more elite, often requiring advanced math, creative direction, or access to capital. A narrower funnel for a bigger population. This loops back to the fundamental question. If fewer people hold stable, well-paid roles, household demand thins. But firms still need customers. Does the system try to keep us as consumers only? So, who pays us to consume? Picture a society where 30 to 40% of tasks are automated to machines and models. Real wages stagnate or fall for the median worker, while profits and capital income rise for the owners of automation. Short-term fixes appear. Buy now, pay later, subscriptions everywhere, micropayments and tips, engagement points that feel like money but aren't, coupons, loyalty tiers, and rewards. Platforms start to reward our scrolling with points, tokens, drops. But points aren't wages and coupons aren't dignity. Economists float an instrument, a universal basic income. A stipend that keeps purchasing power alive even if the market no longer needs everyone's labor. It sounds humane, and during acute transition it may be necessary. But ask the harder questions. Who funds it at scale? Under what conditions? What happens to meaning when the social contract shifts from I contribute, I earn, to I receive in order to consume? And what kind of control can be attached to a stipend by those who administer it? Because a society of consumers only is a society of dependents. In its soft form, people get by but drift, hours filled with screens, comfort food, stimulants, sedatives, and games, their frustrations redirected by ever-better recommendation engines. In its hard form, a stipend is yoked to behavior scores, compliance demands, social credit, or quiet censorship. Bread and circuses, modernized and optimized by machine learning. If we design it carelessly, UBI becomes pacification with a pleasant UX. Ownership sits behind every practical answer. When a model replaces a worker, it reduces wage outflow and increases margin. That margin flows somewhere. Today it flows to shareholders and model vendors. If the public does not participate in the gains from automation, we're engineering inequality as a feature, not a bug. There are at least 3 levers that change that flow. First, co-ownership. If workers, cities, or nations own stakes in the AI systems that displace labor, through sovereign funds, public options, or mandated equity, then the dividends of automation recycle to the people. Not charity, but a claim on the surplus created by replacing wage work with machine work. Second, data and model royalties. If models are trained on our words, images, code, routes, and patterns, we can treat that as labor. Data is not dust. It is the fossil record of our collective lives. A regime of data rights, royalties, and licensing turns passive extraction into negotiated exchange. Third, wage complement, not substitute. We can design tax, liability, and procurement systems that favor AI deployments which augment human teams rather than replace them. Pay firms more when they pair one model with three workers to produce five times the output. Pay less when they pursue one model with zero workers to produce one and a half. Incentives shape architectures. Consider Lila, a claims processor. Her company rolls out a language model that drafts decisions and emails. Her queue drops from 60 files a day to 20. Management notices excess capacity. Some of her team is let go. Lila stays for now, but her path narrows. She used to be the person who knew the edge cases. Now the machine gets there first. At night, she stares at the ceiling and feels something she can't easily say out loud. Not just fear of falling income, but the erasure of competence. Multiply Lila by millions. That's the demand curve. Work is not only money. It is rhythm, identity, and status. When a society hollows out the sense that I do something someone values, it invites despair. We already see the symptoms. Loneliness, anesthetics, performative outrage, brittle politics. A future that treats people primarily as consumers will have to subsidize not only purchasing power, but purpose. That is brittle. There is another path, but it is not automatic and it is not hype. It requires governance that looks directly at power. We can mandate transparency on automation impact. If you deploy an AI system, you publish what labor you replaced, what wage mass you removed, and what margin you captured. We can share the margin, through dividends, public stakes, or negotiated worker equity, the gains of automation recycle. We can pay for the commons the models feed on, data royalty frameworks and compute fees that fund public goods. We can build liability rules that make zero human architectures carry higher risk premia and insurance costs. We can rebuild service work, care, education, local resilience, into real professions paid like they matter precisely because they do. None of this is nostalgia. It's systems thinking. AI accelerates what our incentives reward. If we reward replacement, we'll build machines that make us unnecessary. If we reward amplification, we'll build tools that make us formidable. Look beyond the factory to the newsroom. AI tools already write serviceable summaries. Some outlets quietly replace stringers with models. It's cheap and fast. It's also a slow loss of civic muscle. Journalism nourishes the public square. If we automate away local reporting, we'll drown in PR and propaganda and call it news. The margin saved by not paying reporters profits someone. Without a mechanism to recycle those gains into the public good, we quietly defund the reality-based community. Look at medicine. AI reads scans, drafts notes, triages messages. Used well, it gives clinicians time to talk to patients, time that heals. Used badly, it pushes them to see more patients faster with less eye contact because throughput becomes the metric. We can decide which path pays better. Look at classrooms. A model can plan lessons, grade essays, tutor in 30 languages at once. Marvelous, if teachers are central. Dangerous if districts treat teachers as redundant. Paying teachers more to orchestrate AI-enabled classrooms is expensive. But what is a society that saves on the people who shape its children? There is a temptation to wave all this away with optimism. We worried about the tractor. We worried about the spreadsheet. We worried about the web. True. But the tractor replaced muscle. The spreadsheet replaced ledgers. The web replaced distance. This replaces judgments, drafts, and decisions, the cognitive scaffolding we used to climb the labor ladder. We must not be casual about pulling planks from beneath the next generation and then blaming them for falling. A more honest optimism says, we can bend the curve. Cities can buy augmentation-first systems. Health insurers can reimburse for human time regained by AI, not just tasks completed by AI. Universities can train people to do the irreplaceably human parts of work. Synthesis, relationship, ethics, and use models as instruments, not oracles. Law can insist that if a company extracts value from public data, it pays into a public fund that underwrites local news, open libraries, and digital sanitation. We can also prune uses that are bad bargains for democracy. We restrict certain chemical compounds not because chemistry is bad, but because the compound's externalities outweigh its convenience. We can do the same with models. We can say, a deepfake generator without watermarking is contraband, a mass surveillance model without public oversight is a banned import, an ad targeting system that optimizes for rage pays attacks that funds the cleanup it necessitates. There will be those who call this anti-innovation. It isn't. It's pro-civilization. Innovation that hollows out the human core is not progress. It is extraction. The test is simple. Does the deployment make ordinary people more capable, more connected, and more economically secure? Or does it make them cheaper to ignore? Back on the warehouse floor, the belt still hums. The technician's eyes flick across graphs. Throughput, error, exceptions. Here is the plain question. When the system asks, what are people for? We must answer with policy, not platitudes. We can decide that people are for more than buying things and watching ads. We can decide that the surplus of the machine belongs, in part, to the hands it replaced and the minds it learned from. If we don't, the future will decide for us. And it will not be tender. A final thought before we move on. The point is not to stop the machine. The point is to own it, steer it, and share it. That starts with telling the truth. This is AI Unfiltered. No hype, no lullabies. Only the system-level truth of the tools we're building.